Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, yesterday we were talking about these incredible raids conducted by the DEA down in Denver going after the violent Venezuelan gang, the illegal alien gang known as Tren de Aragua, TDA. And anyway, we ended up getting a great surprise phone call from Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA. So I thought, hey, why not catch up with Stacy Zinn today on this show? And so, we've got a few minutes here before another guest joins us around 9:20 this morning talking Medicaid expansion. But Stacy Zinn, great to have you here in studio with us. I got to get your take. As somebody who is a federal law enforcement officer for your career, recently retired, what about yesterday morning, right around this exact same time? There's former South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, now the head of the Department of Homeland Security. She's all kitted up. She's got her body armor on. She's got ice on the front of it. Her hair was looking pretty good, too. She's like, I'm here to take dirt bags off the streets. Wasn't that cool to see?
You know, it's great to see a strong woman in that position. But I have to admit, being a female and being in the federal system for 23 years, I'm like, woman, put your hair in a ponytail.
You didn't like the hair waving in the wind? The GQ cover shoot or whatever magazine you want to throw it on.
Well, I could tell you at that, 6 a.m., I never looked that good. So I probably didn't ever look that good at 12 noon. But hey, we are proud to have Kristi at the helm of DHS.
Yeah, that was cool to see. This was one of the, I think she was on with Sean Hannity last night, and she talked about why it was important for her, less than 48 hours of being confirmed as Homeland Security Secretary under President Trump. And she talked about why it's important for her to get on the ground with these agents conducting these raids.
I will be out there with our agents and with our law enforcement officers, our Border Patrol, ICE, HSI. I'll be with all of them because I think that when I'm there, they know they have a leader that supports them, but also I'm learning from them. I'm learning what tools they need, what authorities they need.
She also shared a great story where she was talking about how when she grew up on the ranch back in South Dakota, fixing fences with her dad, and how that kind of led to, her thinking now as Homeland Security Secretary.
We were building fence, stretching wires, and out there putting up about a mile and a half of this fence. And he turned to me and he said, Kristi, where's the post mall? Which is the post pounder that you post the pound the posts in with. And I turned to him and I said, it's in the truck. And he said, go get it. So with my dad, you ran everywhere you went. I turned and ran to the truck, grabbed the post mall, brought it back to him, handed it to him. And as I handed it to him, he said, you should know what I need before I know what I need. And I remember being a 10-year-old girl thinking, how am I ever going to know what he needs before he knows what he needs? But what he was doing was teaching us to think ahead and to think three steps ahead of what he needed.
Yeah, incredible story there. I think that was featured in Jesse Waters' program on Fox News last night. Stacy Zinn was nodding her head. Apparently, she has a similar story on along that front. So we'll start there right after this.
Are you? This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I wanted to get Stacy Zinn's take on the sensationalistic media coverage. The very same media, many of whom, didn't want to talk to Stacy Zinn when she was raising concerns about Native American women being targeted by the drug cartels, or just the drug cartels and border security in particular, or the lack of federal law enforcement resources to help go after the drug cartels when she was the head of the DEA here in Montana. Some of the same media folks that didn't want to talk to her and the concerns she was raising about Native Americans being targeted by the Mexican drug cartels. Oh, now those same media people, you want to come up with this sensationalistic nonsense. Native Americans are going to be deported. Oh, for Pete's sake. give me a break. But anyway, Stacy, first, though, you were nodding in agreement. Christy Noem was sharing this great story about growing up on the ranch with her dad. And, hey, you better hustle. You've got a funny story. Your dad was a mechanic, or you'd work on cars together as a kid?
When my dad was not working or on his off time on the weekends, he'd be working on his vehicle and stuff. And I'd be out there with him, and he'd go, Stacy, go get me the pliers. And I kind of look at him, and I'm like, pliers, what did it look like? And this is when I was in kindergarten stuff. And then he'd go move your beep. And I'm like, and I remember that throughout the course of me growing up, because that was the common sentence, move your boom. And the thing is, though, that made me hustle. That made me make sure I got the right tool and bring it back to him. And a lot of times I didn't bring back the right tool. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so it was training. And it actually, those type of life lessons prepared me all the way up to what I did yesterday. So when Christy was talking about that, you know, it was good to have a father that taught me the, you know, those rules of this is what's going to happen in life, and you need to hustle your way through it, and you need to do good job.
I would love it. If there's somebody out there listening right now and Christy Noem's story resonated with you, or if Stacy's story just now resonated with you and your dad on the ranch or your dad in the shop or whatever, send us a message on the Montana Talks app, because it would just be fun to hear the various stories like that. So that's great. Okay, so what's your reaction? People have already heard what I've had to say about this. Just the sensationalistic media coverage. They didn't want to really report on the Mexican drug cartels targeting Native American women, targeting our reservations. Oh, but now, the first week that Trump is in office, finally standing up for American people and for Native Americans and getting these illegal aliens that HE double hockey sticks out of here. Oh, the media all of a sudden wants to run with this sensationalistic story that somehow natives might be deported. Give me a break.
The press needs to be responsible. And it's sad to see. I have a good relationship with the press, but to see them do this, no, that they need to pull it back. What they're doing is that they are causing harm that they shouldn't. These Hispanic males that are illegals, that are linked to the cartels, are preying on the individuals on the reservations. And you know what? There is, unfortunately, individuals on the reservations that will allow them to come, and they will hide them. So with that being said, no law enforcement's going on the reservations and going to deport Native Americans. That is not happening. That's a false lie, and the press needs to be responsible. However, individuals that are harboring these individuals, then they need a good talking to. But to say that this is taking place, that's just it gets me all upset, because it's not true and it's just flat out false.
Apparently, your dad's listening in right now. Because we just got a message from your father from Texas. He says, Stacy needs to stop saying she's not as pretty as the Homeland Security Director. I'm going to cry, man. Holy cow. Here, you read this. I'm getting choked up. This is cool.
My daughter's the most beautiful thing. Oh, so thank you, Daddy. I love you.
He said, my daughter is more beautiful than she knows. That ain't that the truth. As a man with a daughter, I can say amen to that one. That's pretty cool. Thanks to our producer, Caden, for bringing that one in for us here. The other story is in Yellowstone County. The chairman of the Yellowstone County Commissioners, Mark Morse, he's last week, he sent out this letter. He said, hey, we're here to help the Trump administration get rid of this threat, get rid of these illegal aliens. And, hey, we've got the Metro Park here that can be used if you need like a temporary holding facility before you fly these folks out of here. We are here to help. And all of a sudden, the Yellowstone County Commission meeting the other day gets packed full of these left-wing, defund ICE, pro-illegal alien activists. And you were there in the room standing up for the county commissioners. So you saw basically these same left-wing activists that oppose any effort to get rid of illegal aliens. They're just trying to gin up more controversy of something that really isn't that controversial.
Well, it's time for us to have an honest conversation. And when you have an honest conversation, you bring facts into that conversation. But when you sit here and flat out lie about, you know, A, B, and C, D, and you get called on it, then you should own up on it. But then you don't turn around and point the finger and say, oh, you're being racist for talking about facts. No, that's not how this game goes. And unfortunately, we need to have a hard conversation about what some of these illegals are doing here. You know, yes, do you have immigrants up here that are hardworking? They're helping our farmers and ranchers? Absolutely. But we're not talking about rounding them up at this moment. We're talking about the criminals that have already committed crime number one, crime number two, and crime number three. And these, for these left-leaning individuals not to acknowledge that, shame on you.
That's right. That's right. Well, we got to take another quick break here. As your dad would say, we've got to move our, you know what, and get to this commercial break. And then I think we've got Tom Burnett, former Bozeman area state lawmaker, wanting to weigh in on Medicaid expansion, a big topic of debate in the Montana legislature happening right now, of course. So we'll get to Tom Burnett after this. And then I think Stacy, she said she'll stick around and we can talk a lot more with her, take your phone calls and more after the Medicaid expansion discussion here in just a couple of minutes. All right, stand by, back right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a frago for you. This will actually work out. This will work out well. I had Tom Burnett on the calendar. My calendar showed up for 9:20 this morning, but actually, Caden just told me, oh, no, he's not till 9:35. So that'll work out well. So we'll get to Tom Burnett in the second half of the show and then keep it rolling here with Stacy Zinn, former head of the DEA here in Montana. And then, of course, she ran in that Republican congressional primary for the Eastern Congressional District as well. But it's Stacy, it's so great to see you continuing to stay engaged and continuing to stay in the fight. I mean, that's what Tom Homan, I think, is really showing right now in the Trump administration as the borders are, is that, okay, no matter what your position is or where you're at, in government, out of government, or whatever, you have got to continue the air war. You have got to continue the messaging war. You have got to continue to put the truth out there, because otherwise there, you know, we see an entire industry of media that are going to try to spin things and try to, you know, put fake news out there.
Absolutely. And I, being in DEA for approximately 23 years and also being in the foreign arena on the different countries that I served, here's the problem. I had a high security clearance, and I was able to obtain a lot of intelligence that not just linked to drug trafficking, but also to terrorist organizations, to different governments and stuff like that. So I always had to walk that fine line of what I can say and what I can't. But the thing is, though, I'm a wealth of information, and I do not think I would serve the community very well if I just go back into the shadows. There's still a lot that I have to offer. I do this for the love of country. I do this for the love of the state of Montana and for our community and for our kids. Anyone that has kids, we have to protect them, and we have to prepare them for our next, for the future. And that means keeping them safe. That means educate them and give them world guidance of what's going on. And when we have a U.S. that is going backwards, that is breaking laws, that is going, you know, allowing illegal immigrants to come in here, it's allowing crime to disrupt our way of life. If you have the power to make that change and to do something positive, then do it. And that's why I continue to be out there in the community to share the information that I can share in order to help others to make decisions and hopefully make the right decisions.
That's right. And if we don't talk about these things, then, and the public doesn't know about it, and then they're not putting the pressure on state legislators, congressional delegation across the board, then how do you expect things to ever get changed? We got to be able to talk about this stuff. Back to this talk about, you know, illegal aliens. I don't know if you saw Stephen Miller, top policy advisor to President Trump. He was on with Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper on CNN. Oh, tap, tap, tapperoo. And I think it was the Joker on X who just talked about how Stephen Miller just schooled Jake Tapper on immigration enforcement. So Jake Tapper was trying to say, well, look, come on. Okay, yeah, these criminals over here, we got it. But what about the farm workers? What about some of these illegal aliens that are working on farms? And Stephen Miller basically just makes a great point that we have legal programs for farm workers and other things like that. Here's more of what he said in response to Jake Tapper.
The illegal aliens that Joe Biden brought into our country are not full stop doing farm work. They are not. The illegal aliens he brought in from Venezuela, from Haiti, from Nicaragua, they are not doing farm work. They are in our cities collecting welfare. As for the farmers, there is a guest worker program that President Trump supports. Over time as well, we will transition into automation, so we'll never have to have this conversation ever again. But there's no universe in which this nation is going to allow the previous president to flood our nation with millions and millions of illegal aliens who just get to stay here. And we are especially not going to allow a subset of those illegal aliens to rape and murder our citizens. So we are going to unapologetically enforce our immigration laws, and as I'm sure you will celebrate, we are going to unleash the power and might of the U.S. government to eradicate the presence of transnational threats on our soil.
So, all right. Well said there. Your thoughts, Stacey's in. And then, of course, Caroline Leavitt, the 27-year-old new White House press secretary, not a binder in sight, as Jesse Waters talked about last night.
Well, you look in Boston. Boston, they just arrested a Dominican Republic who was actually convicted of second-degree murder. And he was living scot-free in Boston. It's people like that that we need to clean up and get back out of our – just take them out back out of our country, and they need to go back to their country of origin. As for the press secretary, what a breath of fresh air. She comes in and she's intelligent. She knows what she's saying, but she's not trying to spin everything. And see, this is what we need now. We need people to speak facts, speak truth, not sit here and get and speak half lies to get people riled up. Because we saw going into this election of individuals that didn't have the information in place of what was happening to our country. And they're spinning. They're out there going, oh, my God, how did Trump get back in? What's going on? Because the media has led them down this path of lies. And it's time for them to step up and have a little bit of integrity so that now that we can start believing in our press and our media again. And if they don't, then, you know, we're going to have many, many more years of Trump and conservatives.
Yeah. Well, and it also reminds me of why so many Hispanic Americans voted for Donald J. Trump, too, because they don't want people raping and murdering their family members or neighbors either.
Well, they came from this.
They fled these places for a reason.
Absolutely. And see,
now it's followed them here to America.
And they're ticked off. They did things correctly. They went through the process. Whether it was what the process took too long, I have to agree that we need to shore that up. But when they do they go through the proper process of becoming legal citizens of the United States, it's a slap in their face when we allow these other individuals come in and then they get free this and free that and free this and free that, and they bypass everyone else. That's a no-go.
That's also why it's so obnoxious when a bunch of woke white leftists show up at a Yellowstone County Commissioners meeting and basically call them racist for trying to deport these hardened criminals out of this country, these woke white liberals. It's like, oh yeah, because you're the ones that are speaking up for natives or Hispanics, you woke white leftists. Give me a break. Yeah.
See, they need to spend a week with me, and I'll take them to the homes and stuff of where people are being abused by these illegal criminals and stuff like that. They need to walk in someone else's shoes instead of having this ideology of this is the way it is, and oh my gosh, all these people are racist for calling the crime out for what it is.
That's what I said yesterday. I said, go see that grandma on Poplar that lost both of her sons to fentanyl and is now raising her grandkids.
You go
talk to her, and then you come back and tell me your thoughts on immigration policy in America. Speaking of Caroline Leavitt, this was another great back and forth. First off, did you notice right out the gates she had information about the drones over New Jersey, and she put out a statement? It's like, see, it's not that hard, is it? You put out your statement, mm-hmm. The American people get it. But like all these shell games with the Biden regime, when they could have just put out a simple statement.
Oh,
said, yeah, here's what's going on. Okay.
And they should have.
Yeah. But this was another great back and forth, you know, talking about farming and ranching. And, you know, and as Stephen Miller pointed out, these aren't farm workers, these illegal aliens that have flooded in the last 4 years. Speaking of farms, what about the price of eggs? What about the price of eggs right now? Listen
listen to this back and forth.
Egg prices have skyrocketed since President Trump took office. So what specifically is he doing to lower those costs for Americans?
Really glad you brought this up, because there is a lot of reporting out there that is putting the onus on this White House for the increased cost of eggs. I would like to point out to each and every one of you that in 2024, when Joe Biden was in the Oval Office, or upstairs in the residence sleeping, I'm not so sure, egg prices increased 65% in this country. What's also contributing to that is that the Biden administration and the Department of Agriculture directed the mass killing of more than 100 million chickens, which has led to a lack of chicken supply in this country, therefore a lack of egg supply, which is leading to the shortage.
Well, there you go. There's your Farm and Ranch report there on that topic for the day.
Bird flu, anyone? Bird flu?
Good. Now get your, wear your mask.
Get your vaccine.
Stay with us now. Oh, man, that could be like a Broadway musical. William, yes, get your vaccine, you know, with his overpaid entourage surrounding him everywhere he goes. Fauci, what a crook.
Oh, yeah, I know some Hollywood stars that could actually lead that.
You know, they were making such a big deal out of the fact that Donald Trump took away the funding for Fauci's little entourage, that just so-called security team that travels with them everywhere. It was like, man, I remember running into Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL from Butte, Montana, who killed Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him having a big old entourage like Lord Fauci had up until this week.
No, that should have been gone a long time ago. The fact is that he still had that up to this day. No. I don't have a security and a entourage, and I had at least one major threat by the cartel and two from the terrorist across overseas. I didn't get a
security
detail.
With all your work as the head of the DEA, if anybody deserves a security detail, it's you, right? I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. Former Vice President Dick Cheney, I remember a few years ago, probably 10 years ago or so, he drove to Billings, Montana for an event. I thought he flew in. I saw these SUVs and I saw some drift boats. I was like, oh, are you guys with his entourage? Oh, no, we're fly fishing guys out on the Bighorn. Oh, okay. Dick Cheney drove himself up. And if anybody was a target,
you
know, it's the architect of the war in Iraq and et cetera. But no, you know, but look at all these guys, Milley and the rest of them. It's just insane.
And a lot of these will claim, gun laws. You people out there, you shouldn't have guns and stuff, but yet the bodyguards have guns.
Well, that's what, you know, one thing I hope really comes out of this Republican-controlled House, Senate, and White House is national reciprocity, national right to carry. We have a Second Amendment for a reason. The Second Amendment doesn't just apply in Montana. It should apply when I travel to Wyoming, Utah, New York, California, or wherever.
Absolutely. And I thought there was a congressman that was proposing that. So I thought there's a bill being drafted right now.
There is. I'm sure I've got a story buried in my stack of stuff here somewhere. But I know there is a bill moving forward that people are actively pushing right now. Stacy's in. Great to see you. Thanks for your continued service to the people of Montana.
No, thank you. And thank you for having me. Loved it.
Yeah, great to have you. Love to have you on more often. Tom Burnett up next, talking about concerns over Medicaid expansion and what more might they try to shove into it potentially in Helena.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
President Donald Trump's administration is reviewing the Biden administration's grizzly bear management plan. It was released back on January 8th, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposal would consolidate recovery zones into a single distinct population segment across Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and Washington, keeping grizzlies listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Environmental groups backed the plan, but Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho governors, along with hunting and ag groups, opposed the plan. But it was announced this week that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is canceling all public meetings originally scheduled to discuss the Biden bear plan, citing the need for the Trump administration to review the proposal. The public, though, can still submit written comments online through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's website through March 17th. Well, speaking of grizzly bears, the Save the Cowboy group based out of Lewistown will be hosting a public meeting in Lewistown at the Eagles Club on Thursday, February 6th. Topics will include grizzly bear management, with discussions being led by DePuyer rancher Trina Jo Bradley, and the topic of property rights led by Nathan Deshmaker. A social will start at 5 p.m., followed by presentations at 6 at the Eagles Club in Lewistown on February 6th. For more information, visit SaveTheCowboy.net. I'm Wayne Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, it's great to have former state representative Tom Burnett out of the Gallatin Valley back on the show with us. It's always fun to hear from former lawmakers as well, talking about what's currently going on in the legislative session, because, you know, if you're there in the session right now, you got to worry about what you say, how that might affect somebody else voting for your bill or not might be affected. Various reasons. But a former lawmaker, you know, they can just go, well, here's the deal. And so not to say that our current legislators aren't the same way. They'll typically tell it like it is, too. But it's fun to have a former lawmaker on this show. They know the ins and the outs. They also know the history of this whole Medicaid expansion debate. But whether it's Medicaid expansion debate in the state capitol in Helena or staying on top of some of the woke insanity being funded at the local city government in Bozeman, Tom Burnett is one of those numbers guys who's always just has great insight, great information. Tom Burnett, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah, so last week while I was down at the SHOT Show, I did a quick phone call with Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear out of Savage, who's the Speaker of the Montana House. And, you know, because Medicaid expansion was a big topic in some of the committees last week. The takeaway that I got is there's kind of three camps in the legislature right now. So the Medicaid expansion that the legislature barely passed several years ago, well, now it's up for renewal. So they can either renew it or not renew it. So it sounds like there's kind of three camps. There's the don't renew it camp. There's the, well, if you're going to renew it, you better have some new, you know, you better tighten this thing up. You better put some new guidelines in place because this thing's getting out of hand. And then the third camp is, of course, you know, the folks on the left that want to continue taking more of our money to give more free stuff to other people without work requirements or anything. You're one of those in the camp of do not renew this program. Anyway, what do you want to tell folks across Montana before I jump in with my questions?
Well, let's just describe again what Medicaid expansion is. It's part of Obamacare. It added able-bodied, low-income adults to the rolls. Previously, Medicaid had been for the blind, pregnant, disabled, a very limited part of the population. And this takes in people who work not at all or some, and whose incomes are low. And that's kind of an anomaly in an economy when the employers are crying out for workers. One other anomaly in Montana is that we really pay the providers, doctors, hospitals, dentists, ambulances, everyone that serves Medicaid population, the second highest of any state in the country. We pay 111% relative to Medicare. Only Delaware pays better. California pays 73% of Medicare to Medicaid providers. So we're acting like we've got more money than we do. So like you say, I'm in favor of not renewing it, which does not take any action at all. You just sit and it disappears. There's a strong movement, like you say, among the executive and a certain portion of the Republican caucus to go along with renewal. All the Democrats would support that. So there would be a critical mass of votes. There's talk about strengthening the work requirements. Well, the main bill that I see coming from that camp makes work requirements optional. That's not the right direction.
Even some of the Republicans, you're hearing are support making the work requirements optional.
I'm guessing that's the leading bill for the that portion of the Republican caucus and the executive. And so my contention is, if this thing renews, it better have work requirements as promised that stand up to court challenge, because we know what courts do in this state. So if a court comes back and says, the court or the federal government at the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, if either one strikes down our work requirements, then the bill goes away. The act goes away. The program goes away. So I call that court-proofing the work requirements. That better be a part of any renewal.
That's a great idea. And to clarify here, too, for our listeners, when we talk about work requirements when it comes to Medicaid, Medicaid expansion, David Noble, who fills in for me from time to time, he did a great segment talking about this topic, I think last September, that's still on our Montana Talks podcast. But he emphasized a very important point here. When we talk about work requirements, we're talking about work requirements for able-bodied adults. If you're somebody who's got a disability or something like that, you're already covered. Nobody's going to take away your coverage here. We're talking about able-bodied adults who can and should be working, because the rest of us are working to pay for all this stuff, and we don't get all the so-called free stuff.
Correct. And those work requirements are fairly soft, even as written, and they were struck down in 2019 by the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services in Washington. So we've been without work requirements that we put in 2019 ever since.
And, of course, President Trump could change that, right? Do you see some moves afoot? But then again, no matter what the Trump administration does, Montana still has to move forward without expecting Washington to do one thing or another.
Correct. Let's get a scope on how big this thing is. When this thing was enacted, they expected 25,000 people to sign up the first year. 59,000 signed up. They expected it to go to maybe 80,000 total. It went to 125,000 Montanans, able-bodied people on this program. I'll tell just a little incident. A few weeks after this thing became effective, I was standing in line at the post office, and the young lady ahead of me was dressed in the latest of ski fashions and outdoor toggery, and she was writing out a check to the Montana Help Act. I wasn't trying to be snooty. My eyes just fell upon it. Montana Help Act, $29. That's her premium. She's probably a college student. She's entitled to be on the program. But her wardrobe did not bespeak poverty.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's also do a little history of Medicaid expansion, because I think you were in the legislature at the time. It initially failed in the legislature. I think there was a Democrat legislator out of Great Falls who hit the wrong button, and then his vote along with the Republicans effectively stopped it. Am I remembering that one correctly? Because then, if I also understand it, this issue was sent to the people of Montana, and they were able to vote whether they wanted this or not, and the people of Montana said no.
You know, I can't remember that history, Aaron. I trust you.
Oh, well, I'll have to go back and look at my archives, but I'm pretty sure I ran that same backstory by Speaker Brandon Lear, and I think he said that that's how he recalls it as well. But either way, it is what it is right now. The biggest challenge with something like Medicaid expansion is, of course, and this is what people talked about back then, is like, okay, you know, you can block something like this, or you can try to block something like this. That's one thing. But once you put something in place, and once people start getting, you know, what they see as free stuff that the rest of us are paying for, it's a lot harder to then take it away from somebody. So that's the challenge with those who are trying to say, hey, look, we're adding too much to our national debt. This is a big cost for the state of Montana, regardless of whatever the share is that comes from the federal government. But I also can see where these rural hospitals are coming from. I mean, these rural hospitals, these small town rural hospitals, I mean, they got absolutely crushed by the stupid COVID vaccine mandates and some of the other COVID craziness. And it really hurt a lot of these rural hospitals. And as bad as the federal government is in reimbursing hospitals for what they provide, for some reason, these hospitals still feel like the Medicaid expansion is a benefit to their bottom line. They're still addicted to these federal dollars, regardless of how bad the feds are with reimbursing them.
Well, one analyst has addressed that point by saying that the Medicaid fee schedule is less than private insurance. So if these people were on private insurance through their employers, the hospitals would have further revenue, more revenue than they have under Medicaid.
That's a very good point. Because if my private insurance is going to pay more for my services when I come to your hospital than if I was on Medicaid expansion, well, you're going to get more money off of me. So if I'm the hospitals, I should want a work requirement in there then, right?
Yes. People can work. There are 30,000 open jobs in the state.
Second highest wage growth in the country was the last number I heard here, too, specifically when it comes to Montana. Yeah, Tom Burnett on the phone lines with us here. We got to take a quick break. Hey, if you have a quick question or comment, send us a quick message on the Montana Talks app or call in right now. We've got just a quick few minutes left in this hour of the show. But, yeah, I'd love to take, you know, throw one of your questions or comments to Tom Burnett. And then don't worry, this topic is going to continue to be a big topic of discussion in the legislative session. So I'm sure we'll have more conversations and more guests from a variety of different viewpoints on this topic in the months ahead of the very fast-moving 90-day session. All right, back right after this. Thank you.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I think Marilyn and Lolo has a great question or a great point to make. Marilyn, stand by. We'll get to your phone call here in just a quick second as we chat with a former state legislator, Tom Burnett, out of the Gallatin Valley. Real quickly here, I went and checked social media during the break. So the RFK Jr. confirmation hearing is taking place right now. And I just saw, you know, President Trump's White House has a Rapid Response 47 X account where they're pumping out rapid response information to combat the, you know, any fake news out there in the media. But they just sent out this: RFK Jr. commits to working with farmers and ranchers every step of the way. President Trump, quote, has specifically instructed me that he wants farmers involved in every policy. And that was in response to a question from Montana Senator Steve Daines. So I just retweeted that one, x.com/Aaron Flint. Let's go to Marilyn and Lolo as we talk about Medicaid expansion. Marilyn, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, so he needs to tell us what bill it is so that we can call the legislature and ask them or tell them how we want them to vote on it. I'm guessing it's HB 230. Cafiero is the sponsor, but and I got that information from Montana Patriot Patrol .com. People need to go there because they're listing a lot of bills and advising us on, you know, what they're about and how to vote, which way or not. So anyways, yeah, when you guys come on, tell us what the bill numbers are. We need to know that.
Specific bills to vote for, specific bills to vote against. Yeah, great point, great question. And, yeah, let's get to get back to Tom Burnett here. Let me make sure I'm on the right phone line. Yeah, okay. Tom, this is great because, you know, there's some bills that are, you know, backing the Medicaid expansion renewal. There are some that are tweaking it. There are some that want to expand it. I think House Bill 230 by Democrat Representative Mary Cafiero, it sounds like that bill has now died. She was trying to really expand this program. And when they say ambitious, what they really mean is they want to take more of our money and give it to other people.
Yes, that's good information. I didn't know that it has died. What you say is correct. My reading of it is it was a big expansion of the expansion. The bill that I think it's being carried by Representative Buttry out of Great Falls, HB 245. I'm guessing that that's kind of the flagship for Democrats and a sufficient number of Republicans to get across the line, but that's the one that makes it work optional. There's another bill, SB 199, by Trevis out of Great Falls, which is better, but it needs the work requirement to be made court-proof by amendment. There's another bill being drafted by a couple of legislators that I've spoken with, and I don't know the shape of that bill, but it would be probably preferable to any of these.
So, yeah, there's a lot to keep your eye on.
Yeah, so that's good insight there. Yeah, so Carly Graf had a report. This is for the Lee newspapers. Carly Graf is reporting that Maryka Farrow offered to gut her own bill Tuesday. And so apparently, yeah, she is basically killing her own bill. But yeah, but it sounds like the best advice that we can give our listeners is, hey, you know, now Representative Buttrey, I think it is, out of Great Falls, he's got a bill. Maybe call and encourage him to tweak it so that there's a work requirement in there. Whether or not you support, you know, the expansion, at least get a work requirement in there. And then the Treibus bill sounds like he's on the right track with work requirements, but maybe see if he can court proof it to where if the courts get rid of the feds get rid of a work requirement, well, then no Medicaid expansion for you then.
Yes. So that's Senate Bill 199, Treibus. And Buttrey's bill is House Bill 245.
Great information. So, yes. Yeah.
What we need to do is improve bad bills as far as we can, given political exigencies, by amendment, by pressure from the people.
By the way, we got a call from Don in Billings, who served with you in the legislature during the break, and he says that I was on the right track. Yeah, it was former Democrat legislator Tom Jacobson who had voted the wrong way on, or the right way, you might say, but he voted, he hit the wrong button and when it came to Medicaid expansion. So my recollection was correct there. I've only got about a minute or so to go. Tom, this has been great information, especially to divvy out the various camps that may be forming in the legislature. What else would you want to tell folks all across Montana before we run out of time?
Well, if Medicaid expansion failed, renewal, there are plenty of options. There's work available. There are 12 Indian Health Service locations, 63 rural health centers. There's 49 critical access hospitals. There's 14 federally qualified health centers where you pay according to your ability to pay, subsidized by federal taxpayers. So no one's going to go without health care if Medicaid expansion failed. And so that would be the preferred outcome in this legislature. So if your legislator is supporting it, it's time to call them and let them know that there are limitations to their plan.
And at the very least, demand that some work requirements be a part of this. Tom Burnett, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us. Keep us posted throughout the session. Appreciate your time this morning. Are you